174 Tango Whiskey, 2.6 for 3000, 140 on heading.
Guys, which one's the better deal here? A Nick DeLaurier 8x10 signed with the Minnesota Wild for $26.30, or a Nick DeLaurier Buffalo Sabres 8x10 signed for $19.72?
Well, he had his bigger success in Buffalo, so if you're looking investment wise, that would be my.
Maybe get them both.
Yeah, no, we should do that and give those away.
Just live a little. Splurge a little. Just live a little, Manny. Get them both. Yeah.
Get your shrine of Nick DeLaurier autographed memorabilia.
Give them to your kids for Christmas. Wrap them up. Your one kid gets the Minnesota one, the other one gets the Buffalo one. Like, yeah, man, I'm so generous this year. Who the fuck is this hockey player?
He's number 44 in both teams. So he's taking Kimmo Timonen's number.
Unless York takes him.
Oh, yeah, York should fight.
That was the thing. That was the whole reason I was against a Wade Allison jersey for so long, is I was worried he was going to change his number, but then they never got rid of Konechny, so I assume he's just going to fuck off back to 57, I guess. But now that York's a full-timer, I assume he's going to take 44. But, I don't know, these rookie numbers are fucking stupid.
Yeah, I don't.
Biggest
I don't like
pet
them.
Peeve. It doesn't make any sense from a business perspective either. Which, I mean, nothing else the Flyers does makes any sense from a business perspective. But you have any idea how much money you'd make on Wade Allison jerseys by now if you just knew what the fuck number this guy was going to wear? I would have bought one 5 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I agree. They would make money on them because people like him. And absolutely. They're so dumb with the jerseys. There's nothing available at the stadium. Like, if you want stuff, I still don't think they have any wrist aligning jerseys available there.
Probably not.
It takes 5 fucking seconds. Just get a blank jersey, put the numbers on it, put the damn like name on it, and have, you know, 30 of them available for sale.
I think the stuff is probably through Philly Express, which is they probably tried to spell wrist aligning, but it fucked it up every single time. And
yeah.
The time of year when usually when this migrate sale happens and they sell off these old training camp ones from random nobodies for, you know, $150-$200. I'm like, usually do that and strip them and make them jerseys. And it's usually what I do this time of year, but I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I even trust sending shit to Philly Express after this Brisgalin incident last year.
Yeah. No, there's definitely serious problems with it. Yeah. I'd be skeptical too.
There's so many that are missing letters too. That was the big thing that really pissed me off last year. It was like, I have a Timonen that's missing an A. I have Forsberg that's missing a C. My Simmons is missing an A. A couple other ones that I have that are just, they're missing letters. I'm like, fuck, that's so goddamn annoying. But I was going to email them, see if like there's a discount for that, because the website doesn't have anything like that. But it's like, can I just send in like 5 or 6 of these jerseys and get letters for $10 a pop or something? But
nope.
Probably, yeah, I was going to say, probably not. And even if I did, they'd still fuck it up.
Too complicated for them. I think the Flyers should start selling merchandise of the away teams at the arena during games.
They'd probably make more money.
Yeah, they probably would. If the away team just would bring some subsection of merch, and then they can have fucking half the racks, just put them up there. And the Flyers can take a cut, you know, they can take a small cut of it, but the away team, I mean, everybody wins in that situation. Be the first team in pro sports history to sell the visiting team's merchandise during a home game.
God.
Well, Well, they could just take the nameplates off of their jerseys. So all the Abe Kubel jerseys that they had, they could now put them on Toronto Maple Leaf Abe Kubel jerseys.
They could. That would drive me absolutely nuts as a collector, though.
Abe Kubel. God, yeah. He just got engaged, I think.
I think so, yeah.
I forget what his fiance's name was, or his girlfriend's name, but I Madison? Was following on, yeah, Madison, like on Twitter. And when he got traded, I like tweeted at her or something. I was like, thank God you got out of here. and she liked it too. She liked the tweet. I was like, I'm so happy for you guys. You got away from this horrid organization that is the Flyers, and you're finally at a better destination. She liked it.
She probably thought the same thing.
Yeah, I think she did, actually.
What am I even looking for here? God damn it.
So, wait a second. What number was Nate Thompson? 44, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, Nick DeLaurier, all of his pictures, he's 44. Is Nick DeLaurier going to be the new Nate Thompson? The fans are going to blame him for everything.
Oh, I assume you know he's this, pretty right? high on the scapegoat list, yeah.
But the thing is it really even his fault? Because it's Chuck's fault for bringing him in.
Yeah.
Does DeLaurier get a pass?
I'm not sure. See, I don't necessarily know if fans are going to revert back to that level of scrutiny. Like,
oh, they absolutely will. Let's be real.
Yeah, I guess they probably would. But
it's going to be Ristolainen's fault. I still have people that are like, oh my god, Ristolainen. I'm like, of all the fucking things to complain about in this team right now, Ristolainen is fairly low on the list.
I think Couturier is going to have a shit season this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about as well.
He is not a defensive stalwart that everyone likes to see him as. You know, certainly when I watched him last year, he made some fucking absolutely boneheaded defensive plays that have nothing to do with injuries at all. He's just lost in his own defensive zone. Like, he's not
living
a
off
wizard
a reputation he built years ago. 17, yeah. 18, and 18, 19.
Yeah, it's a reputation that, because he sucked at fucking offense so bad, all he had to do was play defense to appease the coaches. He happened to be fairly decent at it. And then, oh, wow, great two-way forward. No, he's a one-way forward that covered Malkin when he was 19 years old.
Yeah, that's fucking 11
years
ago.
Did a good job at it. But, like, who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I was never overly high on Couture. I always respected the game he plays, but, like, holy fuck. I'm curious to see what people think of him in a few years. Because this fan base still goes to bat for him. Well, he's going to be healthy and good this year, Daniel. And I'm like, all right. Like, I don't doubt he's got a year or two of semi-decent hockey left in him, but I don't know.
I do.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. No, he certainly could, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but I'm actually leaning towards...
I think it may be rough out of the gate this year because he's coming back from the back thing, but I would assume he's got a year or two left in him, but it's more just like, whenever that decline happens, it's going to hit hard and it's going to be ugly. Just the road has fucking owned that guy. The injuries and the miles and the knees and the fact that he's not already slow or offensively gifted to begin with. whatever the decline happens, it's gonna suck. 7.7 till 2030. And everyone's worried about a goddamn Gaudreau contract. We're cheering in the streets for Sean Couturier.
Sucks.
That it does.
Sucks.
Did you see that there was a team that signed Mark Stahl and then brought in Eric Stahl on a PTO?
It was the Panthers, I think.
It was the Panthers. I was thinking it was the Panthers, and I was like, no, it's got to be somebody else.
Fuck, I wish I'd brought in Eric Stahl. That would at least made me happy. But no, there's no such thing as happiness when we talk about the Philadelphia Flyers. Happiness and joy and fun players that I would like to watch.
Yeah. If this organization had any credibility, they would like do a random draw and like just take a season ticket holder and just fucking execute them so that they never have to watch this fucking team again. Jesus. Congratulations, section 104, row 15, seat 9.
Right, after their fifth 9-1 loss of the last, 2 weeks, they'll probably be begging for it.
In the middle of a 10-game losing streak.
Thank God.
Oh, how do I send you guys? All right, chat. Here's the...
Dave Scott will personally throw you underneath the SEPTA bus. That would be awesome. What a way to go.
Septic. Yep, there we go. Same player. Wow, Derek Stepan's really crushing Couturier. He has one more season than Couturier, and he's... Yeah, these are the exact same players.
Did you fucking see right before there was the day before free agency, he goes, Konechny had more points, the three more points than Johnny Gaudreau.
Oh, I think he was gaslighting. 2019-20. He must have been gaslighting.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm so
I saw that and I was like, he's doing this on purpose.
The problem is people defend Konechny like that all the time, so I just assumed he was fucking not kidding. I regularly have people on dimensions that are like, yeah, they would have totally pointed that out as a legitimate stat.
Yeah, there could be people, and then I mean, I guess it's possible Dan was doing that, but I think he was gaslighting a bit.
I saw that, and I was just enraged.
Although, I mean, everybody's so on edge with Flyer stuff. I guess joke around a little bit, but I wouldn't do that.
not these days, no. You're fucking asking for it. Yeah, we're not against that at this point.
That press conference, man. I wanted to see his nose just growing like Pinocchio.
I was so angry watching that press conference. That was the one. I listened to the first few questions, and when he had that attitude of like, we did everything right. I was like, fuck it. I can't take it anymore. I couldn't watch that without.
It's like, what are you talking about? The smirk. He fucking did the smirk at Charlie when he said retool.
The attitude, the everything about it. I was like, holy fuck. That is not the way that I would handle that presser if I were him. But
God, they need fucking. I know people give Eskin a bunch of shit, but God, like they need like a Howard Eskin in there to just fucking go off on him. And just like relentlessly ask the like most biting questions.
I wouldn't hurt at this point.
I'd love to see that.
Charlie's fairly decent with the question.
Yeah, I thought he's decent with him.
Sanfilippo's typically pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Carcini always has something crazy off the wall. It has nothing to do with anything.
There was. I don't know if you included this in the other one, but like our predictions on what would happen. And then Manny was predicting that they wouldn't
nothing
do anything. And then we were like, you're probably right. Start the show off with that. Yeah. It's like,
God, I hate that we've fucking predicted all this shit.
We're the only people that predicted like literally nothing what's happened. We all agreed that the most likely outcome was nothing would happen.
The most likely outcome was disaster.
It was like, and I think Anthony said it pretty well on Flyers ED. He's like, we all knew this was coming for months, and this is just like when it all finally came to a head, and it's like, fuck, I did know they were going to do nothing, but, like, I didn't want them to actually do nothing. Fuck, I was hoping for something. But, no, you guys were right. They didn't do fucking anything.
No, I'm telling you, German Rupsov is the guy to watch.
He's
fucking funny. Awesome. Fuck, he wouldn't even get qualified.
It'd be funny. Yeah, they could do all
Florida
the pods
qualify
together.
Him?
Nope.
Oh.
They let him go. That's a guy that, honestly, he should do military service in Russia. He's not.
Yeah, why is he not over there?
Probably where he's headed.
Little asshole.
Yeah. The Russian government would be like, listen, we gave you steroids when you were fucking 17. At that World Junior.
Yeah.
God, have you ever read the Hextall presser? I'm back for that top, the worst to first top, last 10 picks that I wrote a couple weeks ago for the Flyers, and I went back and read the Ron Hextall press conference on Rubtsov, and he's like, oh, we are so happy we got him, and he fell to us, and we're lucky, and we believe in this guy. And I'm like, holy fuck, that didn't pan out.
He checks all the boxes.
checks all the boxes and something like that. It's like, God damn it, man.
No. We mean that he actually checks boxes. Yeah. He throws his shoulder into boxes.
Fucking... He was supposed to be a top 10 pick that year. And then he got doped up because he was supposed to be a top 10 pick because he was on drugs and he fell down the draft and he wasn't good when he was out drugs. Holy fuck. Mm-hmm. What a goddamn idiot Ron Hextall is. How has his drafting with Pittsburgh been? Have they have positive reviews on their draft?
I didn't see who they drafted.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't really even thought about their drafts, but that's a good question. To see if it's probably similar to what all the shit he drafted here. Pascal
LaBerge. How many
years has he
been there now? Two? Three?
They had two drafts, I think, yeah.
Two, yeah.
Hmm. List.
He loves the draft. Loves the draft.
Penguins.
Fucker shaved for once, too.
Yeah.
I noticed.
My razor.
Did you see that?
I did when he was at the list of Penguins draft picks. Wow, they had a first round, a fourth round, a fifth, and 2 sixths this year. You had to know that drove him absolutely crazy. They didn't even have a first round pick last year. Tristan Braz, Isaac Bolivier, Ryan McClary, Daniel Latch, there's way too many A's in that name. Krill Tankov, and then this year was Owen Pickering, 21st overall.
Yeah, tall defenseman, yeah.
Sergei Murashov in the fourth round. Zam Plant.
So you guys think that we're going to hear of anything else until like training camp in terms of the actual NHL team?
I think all of your RFAs are going to sign, but I don't think you're in for anything more than that. Like,
they
theoretically,
still have, like, no,
I would hope they would trade a wing for a center. That would still be on my to-do list if I were them, but they clearly don't have any interest in doing anything. So I don't really expect to see anything between now and September. The camp starts. They'll announce the RFA sooner or later, I guess. Start rolling in, but other than that, I'm not expecting a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, like, it's hard to figure out some cap stuff, but because of the Fedotov contract probably going away, that probably opens up 925 to add to your pool to get McEwen and Tippett in.
Ooh, the excitement. The excitement's going to see how they fucking... They're supposedly over the cap right now. 98,000.
98
grand, yeah. They got to re-sign McEwen and Tippett. I can't imagine either one of those guys are making anything more than $1 million. Though, with fucking DeLoria here, the Christ knows what...
I don't know. Yeah, if you get that LeCavalier agent in on here.
Those two are signed. I assume Allison's the only other one that's going to require a semi-decent extension. Maybe Lazinski, but Ratcliffe is probably nothing. Jackson Cates is less than nothing. Hayden Hodgson is probably just nothing. And Hogberg is probably nothing. So I assume those are all relatively standard three-quarters of a mil contracts. But how many people are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 forwards listed right now. But Farabee and Brink are going to start the season on IR, as is Ellis, who's already there. But Kateri comes off, and his 7.7 goes bang. I would need to sit down and figure all this out in here. But Fedotov's off. Sandstrom's only making 775, so you already save a couple hundred thousand just calling him up and doing whatever they're going to do with Fedotov. Willman and Sandin. Fucking Linus Sandin. I can't believe that guy resigned.
Yeah. Critical depth pieces.
Unbelievable.
Somebody posted a poster of the NHL, and it says top remaining unrestricted free agents: Nazem Kadri, John Klingberg, Phil Kessel, Paul Stastny, PK Subban. Fuck, that guy's still
I thought for sure the Flyers would have signed PK Subban.
I was thought so
shocked
too.
That they didn't.
And Keith Yandel.
Whew, bunch of winners right there.
I'm kind of surprised that Klingberg and Kadri haven't been signed yet, but
I think Kadri probably wants to go back to Colorado, and they just have to figure out the funds to do it.
Yeah.
Like, in all seriousness, if you didn't sign D'Angelo, like, Klingberg's still out there. Okay, he wants a lot of money and a lot of term, but he's going to have to come down. You could probably sign PK Subban for $2 million.
League minimum, probably.
Yeah, like maybe let's even say $2 million.
Sure.
So you're saving $3 million from what you're giving Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah.
But
so fucking dumb.
But you would get Johnny Gaudreau instead.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have, if they're so hellbent on defense, don't sign D'Angelo, buy out Lindblom, and sign Klingberg. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been, I could understand the move. They could have used the money there, and it would have been fine.
Creativity, though.
Yeah.
I don't think they know how to be creative.
I mean, John Klingberg would be an excellent replacement for Ryan Ellis.
Far better than D'Angelo.
Yes.
And he's still there.
And he's still there.
And again, the other thing that these players...
they can get rid of JVR and bring in Klingberg now. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Yes, I can imagine.
2023 first to get rid of JVR just to sign fucking John Klingberg a few days after telling Johnny Hockey to fuck off. That would be so on brand at this point, though. Totally a Chuck Fletcher move because it makes absolutely no sense and be really stupid. Hurt the team in the long haul.
Yeah,
how much is Kadri gonna get?
I don't know.
I think at this point he's probably more just concerned about going to a contender than he is money.
I don't know.
If he wanted money, there were plenty of teams that would have paid him. The Flyers being one of them, I guess.
Well, he already won his cup.
No, but he says he wants to go to a contender.
Yeah, he says that.
Money talks. I have a feeling if he was signing for money, there would have been a team that threw a significant amount of cap at him by now.
See, but like, explain the Columbus thing with Gaudreau. Like, he could have stayed in Calgary and easily a million more a year.
Well, that one's family related.
So he left. So Saravalli had reported he left somewhere between 15 and 17.5 on the table.
Yeah, total.
In total. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he wants to be with his family.
He wants to be with his family in Ohio. Right?
Apparently, they have one of the best children's hospitals in Columbus. So, could always get a new job.
It's a nice place to live. I mean,
and if not, he's still in the metro division. Like, he's going to be in the area more often than not, I guess.
That's a good point too. Although I thought for sure it was New Jersey.
I thought he was going to Jersey.
Yeah. I was confused about all that stuff because, like, yeah, he's still going to. I mean, when he plays games, like, you know, when he goes to the Flyers and the Devils and, you know, Islanders, whatever, to play games, he's not, like, he doesn't have time to hang with the family. Like, the team goes in and then they leave, like, that night. Like, they don't, like, hang around for a long weekend so he can go hang out with his nephews or whatever. Like, that doesn't happen. And so that was, like, a little bit, like, weird to me. And it's still, like, it's not like Columbus is, I guess it's closer than Calgary by a lot, but it's not like you're
still an 8-hour drive.
Yeah, it's gonna hop in the car and drive out to Columbus. Like, it's easier logistically, but it's still annoying logistically.
It's far enough away that it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right,
it's closer than Calgary, but you know, it's still it's an 8-hour drive. I have family just outside of Columbus.
Yeah.
Eight or 9 hours out there. So.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. It's a shitty drive, too. So, yeah, I can see the family thing to an extent, and the Canada thing may have been a problem with.
I mean, he also just wanted to come to the Flyers, so this was clearly his first choice to be family related, mm-hmm. is actually be in fucking Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But they value JVR over him. That's so, like. I don't know. I don't think that was the best long term move for the Flyers. A 29-year-old to a 7-year contract at just shy of $10 million. But at the same time, like, fuck, like, as a fan, I would have loved that at this point. Even if they didn't do anything else. Just, fuck. It would have been something. One shred of positivity and one good hockey player. Like, that's all I fucking want at this point. Here we are watching another year of JVR and Travis Konecny and Sean Couturier and the same group of shitheads we've been watching forever.
It would have increased their credibility, too, because they would have been doing what they said they were going to do.
Yeah. It's so, so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was other things that Gaudreau didn't say as to why he didn't want to be in Calgary. Like, that didn't really come out. I mean, just the family thing is kind of amorphous. I mean, given the resources that he has, I mean, Jesus, that's a fuck ton of money leaving on the table. Also, you know, he would have been, and we talked about this before, but, you know, he would have been in the rafters. Number would have been in the rafters in Calgary. He may have won a cup with them, too. They have a damn good team.
Yeah, if they managed to keep that team together mm-hmm. for another year or two.
Yeah, so, like, you have all this momentum there. The money, like,
I mean,
and
Calgary
also the hockey
in the middle
great.
Of winter probably isn't the most fun place to be.
Right, yeah. But I don't know. I think you get over that at
He's
some
been there
point.
For 8 years now, or whatever the Christ it's been. So.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, like they're in the middle of the season during the winter, too. It's not like they're just sitting at home twiddling their thumbs waiting for something to do.
Waiting for the 9 feet of snow to clear out.
Yeah, right. So I would have stayed there. I don't know. I'd never been to Calgary before, but I also think the hockey market's so good there. I mean, everybody like knows who you are, and you know the whole town is focused on you, and it just seems like a great place to have another 8 years of your hockey career.
And that's the thing with Canada in general is mm-hmm. Everybody knows who you are. You go out somewhere, you go to a restaurant, people know who you are.
Do you think a single person in Ohio has any idea who Johnny Gaudreau is?
No, but you know what? They're going to sell jerseys and they're going to sell tickets. The interesting thing is, to pick Columbus, it's almost like he went from hockey hotbed where you don't have any privacy to now he'll be able to walk around Columbus and do some things that he wants.
Yeah, people think he's a college kid walking around the way he looks.
Yeah. Like in Canada, there's none of that. You'll have people following you around and everybody knows where you are. And like, I'm just reading, I hate this guy on Twitter, Alan Walsh.
Oh, the agent.
Oh, yeah, the agent.
Yeah.
He's a big blowhard. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a thing of one of the reporters. Actually, I believe he was a. On Brotherly Pod, Eric Francis.
I think Eric Francis has been here, yeah.
From Calgary. And I think my Twitter just froze. But he was on the radio on 650 Vancouver. And he basically said, I think Johnny Gaudreau owes the city a bit more than that. They were willing to make him one of the highest paid players in the world. And he in turn turned around at the 11th hour, and I think he stabbed them in the back. And then Alan Walsh is like, it's a business, and he didn't owe him anything. He's an unrestricted free agent. He earned the right to do that. And it's like, yes, but at the same time, when you talk a team up to giving you, I think the last offer was $10.5 million.
Yeah. They requested an offer that day. I saw this too. This is fucking bullshit by the player. Yeah, I thought it was I thought that he led them on as well, Manny. Like, unnecessarily so.
The Andrew Brunette signing in New Jersey is official. So neat.
Nice. Yeah, I kind of take, like, in a lot of these, like, situations, I kind of take the teams, like, the team. I don't know. I think I'm pretty fair with it, actually. But I do understand a lot of the team's positions in these things. And it does piss me off when the team gets fucked. Because at the end of the day, like, it's my team. And, like, and if the player's not there, then it doesn't help me. But the team's always there. So I think I kind of side with them more so.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, he's a UFA and this can happen. Fans have every right to be upset. Like, your team, it's not like your team said, fuck you, we're not paying you that much money.
Like the Flyers, right? Yeah.
You know, like, it was, you know, hey, dude, here's $10.5 million a year. You'll be one of the highest paid wingers in the NHL. 8 years. Like, we're willing to commit to you right now. And for him to just say, yeah, I'm going to go to Columbus. Like, that was, I don't know, man. Like, that.
No, I agree with you. Is that there should have been something earlier in the offseason, and his agent made the request for a higher offer the day before free agency started on that Tuesday. They bumped up the offer. The Flames bumped up the offer because they were negotiating. The fuck?
Do you think that he was just pretty convinced that he was going to Philadelphia at that point? But, like, he was like,
I don't get
I'm
it.
Just going to go to Philadelphia. Like, I'm not going back to Calgary. I'm going to Philadelphia. And then at the 11th hour, the Flyers fucked him, and he picked Columbus instead because he already burned
that
the bridges in Calgary.
That would make a lot of sense.
I thought about that, but then I couldn't imagine how fucking stupid these executives could be and agents could be to not have this ironed out, you know, beforehand. Yeah, I think that's a possibility there, Dan, but it shows unbelievable ineptitude from a lot of different sides. I mean, it could be all the Flyers' fault. Maybe they were promising the agent behind closed doors they were going to make room and it was going to happen, and they relied on that.
I mean, I think that's pretty much what happened, was they were trying their goddamnedest to clear JVR, and at the last minute they just said, no, we're not going to do it, and because of it, they had to let the guy walk.
Look like fools in front of the agent, and that's going to get around in the agent community too. If the Flyers made this promise that this was going to happen, and then they just fucking pussed out at the last minute, and they didn't want to trade the pick.
That's my thing. Is like, I'm wondering, like, how much this is going to actually rattle them. Like, it can't be a good look to have Gaudreau, and you know, there was clearly some kind of, they were getting their ducks in a row for Philadelphia. They had to be.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be some kind of, maybe not promise, but some kind of theoretical plan in place of, I'm going to Philadelphia, they're going to make the room for me, we're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And the Flyers pulled out.
The only explanation as to why Gaudreau's agent continued to negotiate with the Flames up until free agency started, essentially, was to increase, you know, the price, I guess, that the Flyers were going to offer. But if it wasn't about money, then why even mess with that?
Why even do it in the first place?
So that's why there's just so much inconsistency and things that don't make sense about the behavior of all these parties here.
I don't know.
And like, I was kind of thinking about this too, is why doesn't the team give the fucking player a damn deadline? And then if they don't meet the deadline, act accordingly. And I know it's like, oh, well, we would have given them time and all this shit. And I'm like, they've had enough time. If you don't know a week before free agency starts as to what you're going to do with your current team, then it's over. If you're like Brad Treliving, the GM over there, fucking draw the line in the sand. It's done. We will assist you to go where you want to go. But if you cannot meet this deadline, then we're over. Like, why let it bleed over into the first few hours, you know, of free agency there, and then everybody kind of loses. Calgary's caught with their pants down. You know, they're unprepared. The fans are pissed. They get nothing back for him at all. And it's just a terrible situation. Why not use some creativity here and just think about it, for fuck's sake? My God, this isn't that hard.
And realistically, in all honesty, Gaudreau fucked up. in a sense, because you do that if you really want to squeeze the Flames to put in every red cent into an offer so that you can sign it. But then he doesn't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you went all the way to free agency and entertaining this idea of, you know, hey, Calgary, give me your last offer. And you're like hours before hitting the market. And then Calgary gives you this crazy offer. And truth be told, he's not worth $10.5 million. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good player and he had a good year last year. But to give a winger $10.5 million is fucking crazy. Like, people in Toronto bitch about Mitch Marner getting that much money. And I get it. And honestly, I think Marner's better than Gaudreau. I just do. I think he is better. And I hate the Leafs. But he did that. And Calgary was like, here, we'll give you $10.5 million, 8 years. We can give you more term than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Sign with us. And then he just, I'll take less money and I'll go to Columbus.
Yeah, at the last minute.
Weird. Like, it is, it's unexpected. I'm happy for Columbus, but it's weird.
Yeah, it's a bad look. It's a bad look. I just don't understand why you can't amicably get on a schedule, a decision-making schedule that works for both sides of a negotiation. Like, you let it just totally bleed out. For why? Why? It's terrible.
Yeah. See, like, the Jack Campbell thing in Toronto was kind of similar but different. Like, they went to him and they lowballed him on an offer. And they said, well, okay, well, what are you looking for? And then he fucking highballed them on the fucking offer. And then Dubas was like, we're not doing that. We can't even talk. And apparently they weren't even talking. And it's like, okay, so now Toronto's going into the next season with Matt Murray. And then, okay, Samsonov, they're taking a chance that he's going to find his form here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, make no mistake. Like, we talked about, what's it going to take for Chuck Fletcher to get fired? Like, what's the threshold here for firing the general manager? If he hasn't hit that yet, I don't know what possibly can be. Like, make no mistake, if the Leafs don't make it out of the first round of the playoffs this year, Kyle Dubas has got to be fired.
Yeah.
He fucking went and got Matt Murray as their starting goaltender? Wow. Like, I don't even know what to say.
That's
about
a bad
that.
Idea. It's a downgrade.
I don't know. I don't get, like, and that's his decision. That's on him. Mm. If they don't make it out of round one, I don't see how he keeps his job.
These NHL GMs, I mean, God, some of them are just like too conservative, you know, like they want to hold on to these players for, like, for too long. Like, you should be like going out and I don't know how much money are the Leafs spending on both those goalies this year? If you were to ballpark that, Manny.
So Samsonov is 1.8 and okay. Murray was like 3.8 or something like that.
Okay, so like five.
Four, 4.8, something like that. Yeah, they're spending like $5-6 million.
Okay. So then could you, I don't know what the trade
Murray's
market
listed
looked like.
At 4.6.
There you go. Yeah, because
Ottawa's oh, wow.
Murray 4.6 and Samsonov is 1.8, so 6.4 total.
Okay, I mean, that's a pretty good chunk of change there. That's not cheap on goalies like the Flyers typically are. So you got to think, okay, then, you know, what were they going to do via trade? And I don't know. I always think of a guy like a Jonathan Quick or something, but the Kings never want to get rid of him. But somebody that could step in and, you know, like really dominate as a goalie. I guess it's hard to find, but still, Matt Murray is probably not a very good decision.
Well, Campbell got 5.
Yeah, so they should have just kept Campbell.
You know, like, that's what I mean. But they dicked around with him, and he didn't appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know what? I've been playing pretty well. And that's what you did. You came in and you fucking lowballed. That's insulting. I'm out of here.
Yeah, fair.
See, like, and that's what I mean. Like, and it works both ways. That was an example of an organization dicking around with the player. And then the Gaudreau one is the player knows, like,
yeah,
these I'm the bell of the ball and everyone wants to sign me. Give me your last offer, Calgary. And then, like, they jump through hoops. Here, we'll take you out to dinner. We'll do this. Here, we'll do this. We give you the extra year. We're going to put up the offer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he still went, and, yeah, I'm going to test the market, guys.
And, like, he didn't even use it as leverage, too, because once he got to market, it was widely known that Calgary was just totally off the table. So,
right.
So Columbus wasn't competing with Calgary's offer. So then what the fuck's the point?
Well, and then, but then at that point, it's a 7-year deal. It's not, it can no longer
yeah. be eight. Yeah. So if they're trying to use Calgary as a, you know, as a way to increase value or something, it's like that was made no, yeah, it makes no sense how that went down.
Yeah. See, it was almost like they wanted Philadelphia, and then Philadelphia, for whatever, well, we know the reasons. Litany of excuses, and decided, okay, they're out. So we've got the Islanders were interested, the Devils were interested, and then Columbus comes out of nowhere and they're like, here's $9.8 million. And then, okay, what are you guys offering? I don't know what the Devils offered. I don't know what the Islanders offered.
I heard that they were pretty competitive, and like that's what also just is bizarre on this is if the Devils and Islanders offered, you know, pretty much the same, why the fuck are you choosing Columbus over those two franchises? Because you disliked them when you were a child, you know, because nostalgia says, I hate you. I can't play for you.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking grow up. Jesus. Like, if it's all about going back to family, it's like, oh, shit, my family may have to wear a Devils jersey for a couple years. Like, whatever, you know? Like, so in the alternative, I'll just go out to fucking Ohio.
Like, yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah. And it's not like Columbus is winning anything with him. I mean, they're going to be a better team for sure, but maybe in a post Jake Voracek era, they will, because they're going to get a shit ton of cap relief in what was it, 2 seasons? Or is this his last season with them?
I think it's 2 years because it's 1 year shorter than Atkinson, right?
And they still got Laine.
Yeah, and Laine, they'll probably. There were some rumors about them looking to flip him or something, but I think he's going to stay in Columbus.
I don't even recognize half the people on their roster.
Yeah, I don't know their team that well at all.
Justin Danforth? Who the Christ is that?
Well, they're going to have Sillinger. They're going to have Kent Johnson.
Rookies. Eric Gabranson.
Yeah, right, they just got Gabranson. They were in on another defenseman as well.
They were in the chicken rumors, weren't they? Yep. Did he ever fucking get traded yet?
Yeah, he's still fucking sitting there.
God.
These NHL GMs just don't want to move. Yeah, I mean, this Columbus roster might be decent.
They're not terrible. Yeah,
yeah, they might be decent. I think once
they'll be Voracek's better than the Flyers. Off, that's undoubtedly true.
Mm-hmm. Once Voracek's off the team, they'll have a lot of cap there to throw at something. Because I don't think you can win anything when you have a forward that makes 8.25 AAV and scores like what, 3 goals a season? Like
it's like 4 just, last year or something crazy.
Yeah, 4. Like that is just inexcusable. I don't care how many fucking assists you're getting. You make that much money, score 4 goals, fucking moron. I still hate that guy.
Yeah. I know, probably 2 of them were empty netters too.
Yeah. 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 Like even if you just by random shot selection, you get deflections that go in. if you even did anything related to scoring.
That's how JVR made his career.
God. Oh, my God.
Let's see here. Where can I figure out? Voracek's goal scoring. Let's see.
I should start tweeting that guy again.
He had 6 goals last year.
6 goals, yeah.
4 of which were even strength and 2 were on the power play.
He made that cannon go off 6 times.
What should I tweet at Jachobi?
There you go. There's another guy ahead of you on the depth chart.
Hey, still there? Want to get lunch tomorrow? Let's see if anybody...
Didn't he used to eat his mom's pasta or something in the off season? Is that what he said?
Something like that.
He has blocked me still, but I just tweeted at him.
Friend of the pod, Jake Voracek.
Dude, try to get him on.
Oh, yeah.
We could play your eulogy.
Yeah,
that was the greatest.
Eulogy for Jake Voracek.
Fuck you with your Umbro shorts.
Yeah.
Sandals
and Umbros, I believe. Yeah.
It was at Buffalo Billiards.
Yeah.
That place is an awesome sports bar. God, it's a. You have no idea what time it is because it's so dark in there. It's like
those are
no
the best
windows.
Bars.
It's a huge place, and the windows are right at the very front, and like all the seating is not near any of the windows, so it's just dark constantly. I saw Roger Waters in there too, actually. He was playing a show a couple years ago, and we were friends with the manager at BB's, and he told us Roger Waters was coming in like to play pool. So he came with a couple of his guys from like his tour group or something and watched him play pool for like 2 hours.
Well, Chuck Fletcher is just another brick in the wall.
He's comfortably numb.
Yeah. Oh. I want to go inside Chuck Fletcher's head and go, hello, is anybody in there?
Yeah. You have to play Money over and over again to get that in his head. It's Pink Floyd references.
He turns it off every time he hears it on the radio.
Yeah.
He reminds him of that cap space that he tried to free up. The cash register. Ding, ding, ding. Dern, 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 trade JVR now. No!
It's nightmares.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm actually going to see him at the Wells Fargo Center in August.
Roger Waters?
Yeah. So it's like one of the shows that's been canceled or postponed for like 2 years or something.
Yeah, I had something like that. I'm not even a fan of his comedy, but my aunt likes Trevor Noah. So I got these Trevor Noah tickets. And
who the fuck likes Trevor Noah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
That was such a goddamn disappointment taking over the Daily Show.
Yeah, I don't think he's funny.
No,
but whatever. Popular because the tickets sold out like right away, and I managed to get 2 tickets. And then they're like, "Oh yeah, because of COVID, we're postponing the show." And it was at Scotiabank Arena, and it was like, "Okay, when are you postponing it?" Like the show was like November of like 2020. They're like, yeah, November of 2021. And it's like, oh god, so now I gotta wait a fucking year. Why don't you just give me a refund? Like I don't even want to go to this anymore. So, like, after they postponed it the second time, they're like, fine, we'll offer if you want to get your money back. I'm like, yeah, I want my fucking money back. I'm not going to sit here and buy tickets to a comedy show fucking from 2 years ago. Like, I want to fucking go to this now. Like, fuck, give me my fucking $100 back.
I thought of another song from Dark Side of the Moon for Chuck Fletcher, Brain Damage. Oh. The lunatic is on the grass.
Okay. Clayton Kershaw had a perfect game going through 7.2, but broken up.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, got broken up. Wow.
Second perfect game through 7 innings of the year.
Damn. Hmm. I wonder if this... No. Fuck, there's that Lou. Silence of the Lamb. Yeah. Lamorello's inaction. Gaudreau's rejection. Have Isles skating in circles.
You know what? Yeah, they did jack shit, too.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised at that. Like,
I know.
What the fuck are they doing?
Well, they've got a. I still think they got a much better team than the Flyers do, but they are kind of stuck in neutral now. They needed to shake some things up.
It's almost like they shouldn't have fired their fucking coach.
Yeah.
Their roster on paper still looks fine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it does. I think it looks like acceptable that you could compete with.
It'd be interesting to see if they can hold it together without Trotz's leadership.
Yeah.
Systems.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see. But although, who is their head coach now?
Whoever the hell his assistant was.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if they're going to look
Lambert.
That's right. Lane Lambert. Yeah. If they're going to look very different, if at all, from what they were under Trotz, probably some differences, but
bit. I can't imagine they'll be as polished under this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Silence of the Lamb. Motherfucker. See if my Phillies bet hit tonight.
You win? Oh, I did win. Look at that.
Really? All right, I don't...
Last I heard, Alcantara was kicking their ass, so I don't know who...
Oh, good. Yeah, I don't know, my stupid location service thing on this computer. Let me see.
I made it through 8 innings. Wow, holy shit.
Alcantara made it through 8?
Yeah.
And the Phillies won?
Phillies put up 2 runs in the 7th. They won 2-1.
Fuck. Damn it, I lost the bet. I was like, there's no way the Marlins, I think I had them at, like, it was a parlay, a single game parlay. I think I had them at like 2 or 3 runs or more. Fuck. Yeah, this is my bet. Damn it. I needed Alcantara, 5 or more strikeouts, got that. Gibson, 3 or more hits, got that. Phillies, under 6.5, got that. God, I had over 3.5 total runs. That didn't hit. No. And the Marlins over 2.5 runs. God, it's going to be so fucking simple. How did Kyle Gibson throw a gem? Like, for fuck's sake.
6 innings, 4 hits, 1 ER.
And then the bullpen comes in and totally locks it down.
Yeah.
God, this fucking team.
Alvarado. Damn. And Dominguez shut him out in 3 innings.
I'm getting killed on my last 3 bets. Fuck.
Anybody want a Lou Nolan warm-up jersey?
Really?
My grade just dropped all the Flyers 21-22 jerseys today, and a shit ton of the Lou Nolan ones, I guess, didn't go at auction. A bunch of
oh, really?
Yeah. I did get a Wade Allison's jersey from this year. So.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a good one to get. That's one of the few. A
couple of the prospects that are up that I'm probably going to snag. I think their summer sale starts tomorrow night.
Oh, cool.
But Tuomala, Lazinski, Forrester, Desnoyers, a couple of those up. The Moran ones that he didn't wear this year. So make some additions.
Yes, you have to get all of those.
I was going to do this actually a couple years ago in 2019, and goddamn pandemic hit. But when they drop all the training camp jerseys and preseason jerseys all at the same time at the end of the year, and I was going to get them, buy a bunch of them that I would then take to Phantoms training camp and have them sign them and then flip them for money. And at that point, it was like Matt Strom and Bunneman and Taransky and shit like that. So I bought a whole bunch of the training camp jerseys because they're cheap, $200-$300 each, which is, you know, it's pretty much the going rate for that stuff. And then, well, I can take them and get them signed, and the fucking pandemic hit, and I was all of a sudden I'm stuck with these fucking random jerseys yeah. that I'm trying to flip. So I think I haven't heard anything yet about whether or not Phantom's training camp will be open to the public again, but I think I'm going to go for Tuomala and Allison and Forrester and whatnot, try and get them signed, and see what I can do there. But that's the plan, anyway.
Come on up to Voorhees for some Flyers training camp.
Yeah.
God. Oh, my God. Those guys that had signs, that was awesome.
The fire chuck signs, yeah.
Yeah. Or it was sign Johnny or rebuild. I love that one. So fucking good.
Oh, good.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was the best because they were like all clones of each other. They all had like the shades on.
The same five people. And... Yeah.
Yeah, I should see how Voorhees is not close to where I live.
No.
I'm gonna have to see on a map. Even when I used to live in the city, Voorhees wasn't close. No. It was still like 35-minute drive one way.
Voorhees, New Jersey.
With bridge tolls.
Yeah. Where the fucking Christ, where am I here? Voorhees, directions. Thank you. My location. Yeah. I am an hour and 19 minutes away from Voorhees.
God. I'm an hour and 1 minute, an hour and 2 minutes away, so we're both pretty far.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is not close.
Voorhees to...
It's 48 miles.
Philadelphia. Even it's a 30-minute drive from Philly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pain. Because it's like it's not like right over the bridge.
No, you're well into New Jersey at that point. Mm-hmm. I didn't check the mileage on that. What did that say? 78.6 miles.
Yeah. Manny, you should bring the family down for Flyers training camp. Be like... All right, this is probably vacation this year, guys. We are going to Voorhees for a week. Yeah.
God, I kept getting all these stupid fucking media releases from, I guess, all the prospects that do the interviews during development camp. And it's like, how do you feel to be a Flyer? And the guy's like, oh, I love it. And it's like, okay, just like 90 of those. I'm like, fuck off, God. Media releases are a pain in the ass more than they are helpful.
When the fuck is Trial on the Isle?
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing that this year. I haven't heard anything about it.
God, they have to do it. God, they could get booed. Anything dealing with the Flyers now is so toxic.
Yeah.
They can't go out in public, huh?
The Trial on the Isle is going to be Chuck Fletcher's fucking deposition.
Yeah, yeah.
On Long Island.
Trial, yeah. I'm presiding over this trial. Yeah.
You, sir, are found guilty. Criminal negligence.
Yeah.
Let's look up shitty hockey players and what their memorabilia is going for. James Van Riemsdyk.
$300 for Matt Strom's jersey.
Real? Oh, man.
Which is the higher end of what I would do then.
I'll go for most expensive.
Who the hell is Quinn Scheimanman? Scheimanman.
No idea. Never heard of that guy.
Scheimanman. Quinn Scheimanman. Who the fuck? Looks like he was a camp invite from last year. Must have been. I don't know.
How is somebody selling a James Van Riemsdyk Maple Leaf jersey for $2,236.
Is it game worn?
Oh, what a steal.
GU.
Yeah, game worn.
All of his best seasons were with the Leafs, too. God. He sucked as a fucking Flyer.
The first time and the second time.
Yeah.
I fucking hated this guy the first time.
He bookended his career with horrible stints with the Flyer. I mean, he had some minor moments, I guess, or like during his first stint. But he had some like legit production as a Leaf under Babcock.
750 for a Ristolainen?
The Flyers Ristolainen?
Yeah. It's not terrible. It's a little high, but it's not bad. Isaac Ratcliffe's first NHL gold jersey for $1,200. What? Provorov's at 15.
There's a USA James Van Riemsdyk signed autographed jersey for $389 Canadian.
$389, that's what, like $100 American?
God.
It's the conversion rate these days.
I was at a fucking
it's probably 280, 290.
I was at a Nine Inch Nails concert like
290
like 5 years ago up at Radio City Music Hall. They were doing the Downward Spiral in its entirety, which was fucking like insane live. And there was somebody a couple rows in front of me that was wearing a JVR Leafs jersey. It was the most random thing. It made no sense.
God, Zach McEwen's jersey is at 750. What the fuck? Why?
Wow, that autograph looks terrible. That can't be his actual autograph.
A McEwen autograph jersey?
A JVR autograph jersey.
1250 for Konechny. There you go.
Huh. I wouldn't pay $12.50 for a fucking Travis Konechny jersey.
Neither would I.
I wonder how the D'Angelo jerseys will sell. I wonder if they're even going to have them.
They'll sell to a very specific group of people, that's for sure.
Yeah, the grand wizard of the fucking...
Yeah.
I wonder if we're ever going to have those, because like if you go when you go into the stadium there, they have the fan store is the big one. So, but in there they have like racks with jerseys on them, and it's not every player, but I'm wondering if they're going to even have D'Angelo's on those. Probably not. I don't think he's a big enough player for them to have, but who knows? I have no idea what they're going to do in terms of marketing.
There was a bunch of Ryan Ellis jerseys that he didn't wear.
Oh God. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that he didn't wear. And the one that he did wear. Look at that. I get the one he did wear just as a fucking memento that Ryan Ellis existed for four games.
God, Ryan Ellis. Where the fuck does that asshole live?
You gotta find which Home Depot location it was. I'm sure you could figure it out.
Yeah.
Get a general idea.
God, oh God.
He's got the worst beard. Like, it's so big and long. Like, he looks like a fucking
troll.
Like, he lives in the fucking hills.
He's a Noam. Yeah. Ryan Ellis Noam.
Yeah. $400 for Couturier's issued jersey. That's not too bad. I could never fucking reflip it in this goddamn economy, to be certain, but that's not a bad price.
Yeah, the Flyers jersey fucking market must be fucking...
The jersey market in general is fucking ruined, thanks to the way life is these days. But yeah, the Flyers jerseys certainly don't help.
Yeah, you know it's bad when Lou Nolan this season is going to be Flyers goal scored by who gives a fuck.
Maybe people think that it's like a Nolan Patrick jersey or something.
Patrick Brown. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Patrick Brown. That's what I need, yeah.
$400 for his gamer.